The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Mick Schatz.
Streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app.
Now, here are Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
And it is time for another edition of Mix Shots inside the SWBC podcast studio. Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola. And Mickey, it's time for you to say the sun came up today.
I don't think it did.
Oh, the sun did not come up today.
Or if it did, it's not very effective.
And I can't hear a victory song, so yeah.
Yep. We don't hear a victory song. It's not a victory Monday.
It's one of those.
Hey, yeah, we should play that after every loss.
That's our disappointing song.
when all the laughter dies in sorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
What time did you arrive back on the charter?
2:35.
And a quick turnaround for this team. Yeah. This morning, as they've already had an open locker room.
Well, it was open.
Didn't mean that the players had to be there.
I think the media far outnumbered probably 15 to 1.
So it's by design they opened it at 11 o'clock.
They had their team meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So what time would that have been? I came down. It was after I did my fan update. So it was about 10:40.
Okay.
And then they started the exit interviews, as Everson knows. And
mm-hmm.
Some of the guys were there cleaning out their lockers, getting their things. I didn't see any trash bags being filled, but there was hardly anybody in there. So Deron Bland spoke for a little while, talked to Overton for a little while
mm-hmm.
about the classless act of the 49ers before the game.
Interrupting the kicker while he's trying to kick.
Yeah.
Why don't the referees handle that?
Because
they're not out there yet.
Oh.
This was how long before the game? An hour and a half?
It was, an hour, 45 minutes. I mean, they were punking them.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
I mean, it would be like the NBA when mm-hmm. they talk to you at the free throw line when the game's on the line.
Right.
And it was just classless. Just classless. And, you know, and it was their main guys, Deebo Samuel, Trent Williams, Josh Johnson.
Trent, I was surprised he was over there.
Yeah. And it's like they're talking smack and got in the way of the warm-ups. I was looking at that. And then I saw, you know, the tempers were starting to, you know, and McQuaid, who's, you know, on IR, mm-hmm. he walked over there to try to settle things down and I was sitting there talking to Cable, and I looked over there, and I was watching it.
You want to explain who Cable is?
Cable's one of the Cowboys in-house security guys.
Yeah,
there
you go. Yeah.
And I said, Cable, I think they need some security over there. And he looked, and he goes, oh, and he kind of walked over there. And they finally got – I mean, it's a routine. You do that, you know –
Both teams do it on either side of the 50-yard line.
Yeah, they switch, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was just talking to Overton, and he said, I've never seen that in my career, that somebody tried to do that.
You think fines might be in the future?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the NFL, you know, it probably is not. If there's no picture, it didn't happen, right?
Oh, there's pictures.
Yeah.
The media from up in the press box were.
Okay.
They were on it. Yeah. We saw the videos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a lot of the pregame hype was about that.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So anyway.
Let's get to the game.
You know, before you move on, there are some people in the locker room, and I know it was the same way when I played. They know they're not going to be back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
talking about this Monday after the end of the season.
After the end of the season, you know that if we would have lost next week, you know, be a different
Doesn't matter how successful your season is. Yeah. There's
the guys
you,
that are
you
on
know
one,
the guys
one-year
deals. You know, even if you're favorite, You know, you kind of know, and that's when the trash bags come out. I see what you were saying about the trash bag. Yeah. That's when they're not coming back. We're not leaving anything in our locker. So that's kind of a sad moment there.
Well, and then there's a bunch of them that they may be back, but they don't know today whether they're going to be back or not.
But the ones that know, they know.
Yeah,
and those are the ones that, you know, they probably showed up even earlier than the media, and they got in and they got out. And they're probably thinking, hey, man, this is not my future.
It reminds me of that Sunday when we found out the paper was closing. And it's like you go, okay, now what do I do with the rest of my life, right? Because you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when we went down to the locker room and we waited till the end. Most of the guys were gone, and we were just going to say something to Jimmy, right? Jimmy walks out. He kind of looks at us. He kind of smacks his lips, and he goes, well, whatever.
Jimmy.
And then he finished. He finished it with, well, now you know how us coaches feel when we get fired. And I was like, oh, thanks.
I got to say,
but that was
1989.
Yeah.
That was my feeling.
Yeah.
I almost forgot. I'm getting old. I forgot I had that feeling.
Yeah.
And because some of you guys interviewed me. I don't know if you were there. And then after I left, I heard that Jimmy comes out of the shower, hair still wet. What did Everson say? Because, you know, that was a 1-15 season, and pretty much they're going to be voices.
I mean, I know we need to get to the game, but the locker room was it was, as Mike McCarthy said, it was raw. It was really raw.
Mm-hmm. I heard on Channel 8 News about the emotions in the locker room. In San Francisco after the game. I mean, you talk about raw emotions.
J'Ron Kearse, God bless him, mm-hmm. he meticulously got dressed with his back to everybody, but he stood there and answered all the questions. And I thought he was going to just start crying.
He did. You must have missed it.
Yeah.
No, he did. Openly.
Yeah.
Openly crying. I mean, to where he had to be consoled.
He was, it was tough on him. Trayvon Diggs might have been the last person to leave the locker room. He was sitting there with his head down, bent over
with a towel
on the chair,
towel over his head.
Dak and Zeke were the last two guys in there. And, you know, quarterbacks got to talk, right?
Got to talk.
Got to fall on your sword. You got to, my bad. And, you know, the hard thing was if you analyze the game, what you were worried about was the amount of points San Francisco had been scoring with a third, with a seventh round rookie quarterback. You were worried about Debo Samuel, or you were worried about McCaffrey, and they stopped those guys.
They sure did.
Debo had 8 touches for 56 yards. You would have said, "Yeah, I'll take that." McCaffrey had 16 touches for 57 yards. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to score 19 points. Hell yes, I'm taking that, right? But they only scored 12 points. 12. And they I almost said the wrong thing. They had opportunities that they just let them dribble down their leg.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I think really hurt.
I didn't see any interviews after. I didn't see Dax. But having watched the game – and being in his corner, still in his corner, but you just got there. These are the interceptions that he performed in this game. I don't think you can explain those away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got team interceptions and you got bad QB interceptions. Those were two bad QB interceptions. And that is not what you need.
Right.
At this time, when you're our guy, and everything's on your shoulders. And like you said, it's the life of a quarterback. And this is one of those games where he did not play nearly up to the potential that he could play. I think he played worse this year than maybe in last year's game.
Well, this one, but it was the same reason. The offensive line did not perform. And I know they only got one sack, but he was under duress. They were sending 5, 6. Their game plan basically is, we're going to control you.
Yeah.
You know, see what else you can do, but you're not beating me.
Right.
And you know, and it sort of worked. Now, that first interception, if you go back and look at it, Michael Gallup, like, stopped twice, like he was going to do a hitch. And then the ball was thrown, and then he kept going. And the DB just stood there and said, okay, I'll catch this.
Well, that's two in a row, two games in a row, I believe it was two games in a row, where he tries to go to Gallup, and you got to fight for that ball.
Yeah.
As a wide receiver. You got to fight for that ball. He was still going backwards.
Yeah, the DB
ran the route.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that has anything to do with his knee.
Or is that a route where there's a site adjustment where he needed to run a comeback and he didn't, and the quarterback thought he was? I don't know.
No. Yeah. What I saw was the DB ran the route. Mm-hmm. He out-hustled him for the ball. That's all I saw. I mean, whatever the route was, the DB finished it. And Gallup was outfought for the ball.
But he kept going.
Well, yeah, he knocked him back. The DB actually came in. If I'm not mistaken, he fought for that. That's why he went backwards, because the DB fought to get in front of him. And that's the second time, I think it happened last game, to where, you know, still Dak's fault. But, man, at least go for the knockdown. Be somewhere to where you can stop the DB from getting the ball. And like I said, I don't think his knee –
No, I don't think that had anything.
But he's run better routes in the past.
I know.
His curl routes are not where they should be, whether it's grass or turf. And once again, that was all Dak's fault. If you're going to throw that ball somewhere, it can't be high. You know, it's got to be somewhere low to where no one can get it. But, you know, when you start talking about these sight adjustments, you got to trust your quarterback. You got to trust your wide receiver. And at this point, they don't have a good connection.
And then the second one, that was Dak. He tried to thread a needle that he didn't need to.
And he had two more that they could have easily picked off.
And the ball got another tip ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it goes – because when I saw it –
Well, it should have been clean interception in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. And then it was like, well, wait a minute. The guy that intercepted it's not running with the ball, because I thought Ward had it.
Yes.
And he tipped it and goes right to the linebacker.
And here's the thing on both of them. You look at the situation, okay?
Second and two.
Well, on the second one. The first one was third and nine.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? It gets back to what Parcells always used to say. A punt's not necessarily a bad play,
right? Mm-hmm.
And especially early in a game like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're third and nine, okay? What are the percentages of converting third
against
and nine?
Against the best defense in the NFL.
There you go. And so don't take a chance,
nope.
Okay? Go ahead. If it's not there, throw it away. Mm-mm. Punt. And live to play another play.
I don't care how short the route is.
And then, as Mickey pointed out,
if they can make a play.
Right. And then, as Mickey pointed out, it's second and two at the 18-yard line.
That hurt.
You got a field goal.
That hurt. Right?
You got a field
that
goal.
That hurt.
And not only did you...
Well, you thought you might have a...
He kicked.
He did. He did.
But
at that point, he had not. At that point, he had not kicked one. So
you got to depend on the field goal. You got to depend
on
the field goal.
Yes, right.
So that's minus three.
Yeah.
Right?
That hurt.
The missed or the blocked extra point that was going to be a miss, that's minus one. So now you're minus four.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get the ball back and go kick a field goal to end a half.
Well,
now that's minus seven.
Yeah. But then you also, with the interception early in the game, that's a minus three.
That's
a plus three for San Francisco because they kick a field goal.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's 10 points that swing on that.
And let's add three more or four more because they've got first and goal at the nine. And they kick the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to score a touchdown.
Right.
I'm sorry. And you give up that many points, and you lose by seven.
And see, now, when you talk about being in certain situations, first of all, your quarterback, he's been here before. You got to know what not to do, number one. Number two, I think the beginning of the game plan was all about moving the pocket. It was all about making them find out where we are. After a while, in the second half, we stopped all of that. And maybe it has something to do with Pollard. I don't know. But we're right where they need for us to be. They can see us in the pocket the whole time. That four-man rush, just like last year, you know, he's getting swallowed up. He's panicking. You know how he does. When he gets in that panic, he tries to make too much happen, and it ends up being a horrible play. And that, to me, if you're going to keep the game plan, keep the game plan. We never moved the pocket. In the second half.
Yes, you did.
Did we?
Yeah.
With 45 seconds left in the game. 45 seconds left.
Were they
left.
Almost
at Armstead?
I heard somebody say, were they on purpose trying to take a safety? But you know what they did? They when they rolled him out like that?
Yeah.
That was all planned because Biadasz, after he snapped the ball, he made a beeline to his right, and he turned around like he was ready to block anybody coming that way.
Yeah, yeah.
They forgot Armstead.
Yeah, what's funny about that is both of us at the same time. Yeah, they did one time. 45 seconds left.
You guys are on it. You're on it. You are on it.
I still got this vision of Biadasz just turning around and facing.
Right? I have this vision. My son and I were going crazy. I have this vision of him just running into the defender.
It was almost like Armstead also wasn't sure. Okay, this is so weird.
What is he
weird.
Doing?
Yeah, why? Okay.
Why is he not trying to throw the ball?
The one thing I don't want is a penalty, and so I don't want to hit him. And
I don't know what was Dak thinking on that.
They were pulling to give him time. They've done that play before, and it worked. They pulled him, and then he threw deep, and he had more time to throw.
Right.
Yeah, but,
right.
But I get what they were doing. But what the hell was he doing is what I'm asking.
But because he didn't expect that guy to be there.
I think he's just like, I don't know. He just got mad because no one's open and I'm having such a bad game. Maybe just run into somebody. I forget there might be a safety on the 1 year. What was he? Was he in the end zone?
He was in the end zone.
That was crazy.
It could have been a safety.
I don't understand that. That was very odd.
Which would have made it 21-12. No, there's no strategic reason for taking a safety.
At all. Like, man, he just got frustrated within the play. Doing the running.
Well, fortunately, he figured out to just throw the damn thing.
By time.
He finally figured out. Throw it away.
Yeah, to figure that out?
This ain't working.
Needed to figure that out on 3rd and 9 in the first quarter.
That's right.
All right, we're just getting started here. The two biggest plays of the game. Think about that during the break. What were the two biggest plays of the game when we come back here on Mix Shots?
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh, well, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Cape Post Roofing and Waterproofing, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. From corporate homes to your home, have your roof checked by choice, not by chance. Call now, 214-225-4860, capepostcompany.com, and it helps when you have your microphone.
All right, Dak.
Your energy level seems low this morning, Mickey.
I got to say, I feel old. I feel older. After watching that game, being so drained and, man, just kind of trying to be patient and, you know, anticipate. It just You know, the whole house was drained last night.
You know, we all have friends like this who is the biggest negative, biggest negative Cowboy fan in the world, or not even a Cowboy fan, but just likes to see the team struggle and jumps on Dak and everything, whatever. One of my friends, he actually texted last night, said, "Hey, Bill, I think the Cowboys actually played a pretty decent game. Came up short, but they did play good." I mean, and for him to say that, because normally he's the one that, those guys, they can't do anything, whatever.
My business partner is from Oakland, but he's a 49er fan. And, man, he called out last night after the game. And I was like, oh, he's going to be talking trash. And he was impressed, especially with the defense.
And I talked to this friend this morning driving out here, and he's like, you know what? It was a slugfest back and forth.
That was old school.
Yeah.
That was old
school. And he said, I actually really enjoyed. Now, there's going to be mistakes that are made, but I actually really enjoyed just watching two good teams just slug it out
because of the two good defenses.
And
we matched their defense blow for blow. And I think San Francisco is going to be a little nervous now because I think we've shown the Eagles how to do it. And Purdy looked like a backup quarterback trying to win a game.
Well, and, you know, the defensive front, I know they only, what did they, sack them twice? But they had him on the run
most of the time, and in the first half, stopping the run like crazy. I mean, McCaffrey at halftime had five carries for 8 yards.
They had 28 yards of rushing with 5:58 to go in the third.
Mm-hmm.
They finished with 113.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They had a six-minute drive and an eight-minute drive the last 20 minutes of the game. It started to leak a little.
Mm-hmm. But what they did was they were playing, and I don't know if you can see it on TV, but – for the majority of the rest of the game, they were in two wide receivers, and it was either two tight ends or it was two running backs, meaning they had a fullback in there. And sometimes 44. It was three because they lined Debo up as a running – like two running backs. And then the – and Juszczyk, is that how you say it? A lot of times he's not lined up as a fullback. He's lined up as a tight end.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And so now it's like three tight ends out there, but you got to honor him because they could throw it to him, right? So the Cowboys never handled that very well. And they didn't adjust that fourth quarter where they were still playing with three safeties out there. Give me another linebacker, please.
I thought, and not even going to the biggest plays yet, but I thought that the pass coverage – down the stretch.
No, it was real good.
Well, I thought it could have been smarter when they kept letting them in. Well, I've talked about this so much.
I know, and we did last week, right? I was watching for a little bit. Isaiah had his pad, and he was going over the plays, and he goes, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, he doesn't ever throw the ball outside.
No.
He goes, all they do is design stuff for him to look straight ahead. And everything's in the middle.
Even the commentators know that.
In the middle.
Yeah.
And that's all they did. It was a slant, a hash, a little curl, but everything was in front of him. And it reminded me, I don't know if I told you guys, I might have told you Friday, it reminded me of Steve Walsh when he was with the Bears. And they got into the playoffs, and I don't remember who they were playing, but they decided that Walsh's arm is not going to beat us on the outside. We're going to make sure we squeeze the middle. Mm-hmm. And they picked him off a couple times because they had the middle all squeezed, right? Well, the Cowboys, a lot of the time, they were in zone. And the receiver, Ayuk, would just run a slant, settle down, and it's right in front of him.
I saw two on third downs. Barr was one.
Yeah.
That was man-to-man. And he should have stayed inside.
But you can't have the linebacker on a wide receiver.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
In the slot.
Here's the thing. If a linebacker should cover what he should be able to cover.
So in the inside.
And that is what he was able to cover. He was already inside.
Yeah.
And he took the fake. And I get it. Hey, I play DB, shifty wide receivers. You know, they can do that. But, you know, he's a veteran. And this is time for him to make a play. And not just him. I think the same thing happened with Bland, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Also gave it up inside. When you're lining up, guys, and you've already seen what the pattern is, you might as well cheat it.
Right.
You have no one
force
inside.
Force him to throw that ball outside.
You have to. You have to. I mean, you have to play what they've shown you. And, you know, that comes with experience.
Yeah.
And I thought Barr was a little bit more experienced than that. So.
Okay. So, biggest plays of the game. What do you think?
Well, Dak's interception. To me, Dak's interception in the red zone. That was the beginning of incompetence, you know? Because at that point, I thought we had momentum going. We'd already scored a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought we could have, you know, kept them on their heels with at least a field goal.
And that was 6-6 at that point. Okay. And then they took it and were able to get a field goal right on the last play.
I thought that was big. I thought that gave them it wasn't much momentum from either side. But when you're talking about a slugfest like this,
mm-hmm.
you don't need much.
So mine, it's 9-9. We're looking at 1st and 10 at the Cowboys 21, 5:19 left in the quarter, and Purdy throws the ball down the middle to Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he juggled it for 10 yards.
Yeah. That's
with Neville Gallimore trailing him.
Yeah. Wow, Neville was running, wasn't
he? Was.
He's like, I'm going to make this play.
Was that the one that Diggs almost got there in time to hit him after he juggled it?
Yeah, he's still upset about that. That was one of the reasons he had the towel over his head.
It's a 30-yard gain to the 41, and that gets them on the drive you mentioned when they went 91 yards to score the only touchdown they scored in the game. If they don't get that play, I don't know that they marched that far downfield.
That's true.
Well, to that point, all right, I'm trying to decide. I've got two plays.
Okay.
And they relate very closely to both of your plays. I'll start with yours, Everson. What happened on the play before the interception?
Can't recall.
Tony Pollard got hurt.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think that was one of the two biggest plays in the game.
I agree.
Because without Pollard in the second half, the offense was not the same. And they tried to get it to CD as much as possible, but as far as explosive players on this team, you took one of the two away.
And a guy that they had to respect the run, right? Because they knew if they give him a sliver,
they had to respect him on the pass as well.
Right.
If he were to leak out,
right.
You know, he's definitely more dangerous in open field than Zeke would be.
Which, by the way, he suffered a fractured left fibula.
Surgery.
He's got to have surgery, and they got to check the ankle because they think there could be ligament damage there.
So the same as Dak?
No, because Dak's was his fracture was down by the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
This one was like halfway up the shin.
Is he going to be okay? I mean, you know, you're talking
eventually,
here.
But it, you know.
I mean, will he be able to play again? That kind of injury?
I think he can.
Yeah.
But obviously,
he's a free agent to be.
That's what I was just getting ready to say.
That's the worst.
You're playing on that last year of your contract. You get and go into free agency. We'll see. You know, we would have seen what teams thought of him by what they would have offered.
Well, you would have seen what next year would look like if he were to play for us.
Yeah.
Because he had the majority of the plays in the game from the beginning until
he
got hurt.
And now, you know, do you sign him? If teams back off on him, you never know, right? You sign him to a one-year prove-it deal that you're healthy and, you know, you're good to go. Now, a fractured bone, you know, it'll heal in 6 weeks.
But can you perform?
But, yeah.
Yeah, the same.
And you're going into free agency in a month and a half, two months?
Mm-hmm.
And you may not be able to do anything for anybody, right?
I don't know if he'll be ready for next season.
They're saying 3 to 4 months.
That's it?
Recovery time. Now, depending on the ligament in the ankle,
that's
they don't know about that yet.
Yeah. But again,
I think that's coming back from the surgery, whatever.
Okay. Right. And you know, 3 to 4 months, free agency starts.
Yeah.
Now, all right.
The Cowboys.
You had a second play.
the Cowboys could always say, okay, you know, give you a one-year prove-it deal to reestablish your market value. We'll see what happens there, though. But that was huge that he got hurt.
And I'll discuss the other aspect of that play here in a second. The other play relating to your drive there, Mickey, was all right. The Cowboys on the previous possession, the Cowboys started at their own 9-yard line, and first play was the CD 46-yard catch that got the Cowboys to midfield, same spot that San Francisco got to with their 30-yarder to Kittle. Cowboys weren't able to move the ball and punted the ball away to San Francisco. San Francisco takes over at their own 9, and then on the second, third play of that possession is the 30-yard pass to Kittle. Now they get it all the way down to the 20-yard line, 3rd and 8. DeMarcus Lawrence gets the sack. Penalty. Hold on Donovan Wilson on George Kittle.
Good call.
It was a good call because Kittle, the savvy tight end, was able to sell that call. And he knew going into that play with that situation, 3rd and 8, you got a rookie quarterback. Instead of a rookie quarterback having to execute a play to convert this 3rd and 8 play, run into that safety, a physical safety, and Donovan Wilson, make contact. He makes contact with you. He's got his hands on you. You flail away. You're getting the call.
There's a difference in the positioning of the DB, though.
I'm not taking Donovan Wilson out of the – I mean, he needs to be aware this is what this veteran tight end is trying to do to you.
Even if he doesn't figure that out, if you just play regular man-to-man, the reason it was called was because he got behind the receiver.
No, he was in front of him.
When he called it, when he was flailing, it's because he had gotten by him and looked like Wilson was grabbing from the side.
Yeah, but the back judge should have seen the whole play, right? Because he ran into him, and then by time he spun around and was behind him.
And
but he didn't hold him.
Kittle knew exactly what he was doing on that.
So my other question on that is, did that occur before the sack? Because the guy that threw the flag could not see when the sack occurred.
It occurred before the sack. That's why it was just a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, I know.
And they called it that
way. But how did they know that? Did they go back and look at it?
I don't recall how long they discussed it.
Because the head referee is not looking that far downfield, right? He's looking at the quarterback.
Right.
So who decided that the sack hadn't already occurred? That was my question.
Right. On that. Because
they announced it.
Yeah.
That the sack happened after the hold.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
your favor of a replay review on that,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I'd like to see. That's like those delay of game snaps, right? And they call it they don't call it.
Right.
It's like, okay, that guy's not watching the clock.
Right.
He's watching the clock. Did he see the snap, right? Can't see both.
So anyway, I credit –
but
Kittle.
Right. Kittle,
I credit
you're
Kittle
right. You're right.
For being smart enough, savvy enough to understand that he's going to get this call. If he gets into Wilson's kitchen, okay, and then he's going past him and they've made contact, if he just kind of slows down his route and flails his arms, he's getting that call. And being George Kittle. I think that's a bigger play than even the 30-yarder. Because the Cowboys got to midfield previously and couldn't do anything beyond that.
Right.
And that's a 3rd and 8 play. They're kicking a field goal from 45 yards or whatever with the sack tacked in. And it's only a 12-9 game if they make that field goal instead of a 16-9 game.
So to emphasize your point, there was a delay in the game after that. Can't remember what delayed it, but Wilson went and talked to the back judge, and then he went and talked to the head referee, and they had there was a timeout in there somewhere, and he had a long discussion with both of them, and you can see he was telling them what happened.
Because if you look at the replay, I really don't think Wilson had his hands on him holding him. He had his hands in that area where it looked like it.
Yeah.
But Kittle is smart enough to know, and knowing the situation, we're getting a first down here without even having to make a play.
Because initially it was almost like
they were having a tough time getting first downs.
He was protecting himself. He was almost protecting himself when the guy was getting ready to run into him, so he put his hands up.
Right, right. So anyway, those are my two plays. And
so it would have been it was 3rd and 9. They sacked him at the 26.
Yep.
So we're talking
44-yard field goal, which
instead,
was money for gold, but it's still 12-9 instead of 16-9.
It ends up 1st and 10 at the 15.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, one of the bigger plays of the game.
Oh, and by the way, to continue,
the next play, Jonathan Hankins gets called for a defensive holding.
He's getting double teamed, and he's kind of holding on for dear life, right? And he gets called for a hold,
which happened earlier in the game when Zach Martin got held on a play, and they didn't call it.
And there was another
bad.
And then there was another. So they had 15 yards in penalties because the first play of that drive, D-Law jumps offsides.
Yeah.
Right? So 5 yards.
That was the first play.
1st and 5 now. Mm-hmm. Right? So they had 15 yards of penalties on that drive.
All right. We have about 9 minutes left of mixed shots and more to get to when we come back in a moment.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh. She's doing great.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey. Oh, well, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Bar and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Just steps away from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters in Frisco, visit the Star District, your destination for excellent dining, premier shopping, and exciting events. Visit stardistrict.com for more information. And isn't that ironic that we call this Frisco?
They have a bar in Frisco that caters to 49er fans.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's where my business partner saw the game, and that's where he watches all the 49er games. So it's somewhere in Frisco, right?
Okay, what do you want to get to in our final 5 minutes or so?
I got to say something.
Okay.
That pass to, first of all, CeeDee Lamb.
Yes.
Is a baller. I mean, he's the guy between he and Turpin, I thought they, and D-Law, I thought DeMarcus Lawrence. Those three guys played an exceptional game, especially during losing situation. The deep pass to CeeDee Lamb, the one, I mean, come on, the deep pass.
Yeah.
This is one of the better catches I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, he hits the ground. The guy's hands, I've never shaken his hand. Oh, his hands long.
Yes.
He's got big hands.
He's got those fingers.
The fingers.
Go forever.
That's why he was able to just hold on to that ball as he rolled over. That pass, guys, has got to be on time. If that pass is anywhere on time, CD just might get at least another 20 yards, if not outrun the safety for a touchdown. Those are the things yesterday. That's what championship is all about. That's what playoffs is all about. You have got to make the plays you need to make. And Dak's deep passes yesterday, I've been complaining about the receivers not being able to track the ball. Well, hell, I couldn't track that ball either. It was short to CeeDee Lamb, and the other one that he tried to gallop. That was just a bad call.
And I'm not giving him an excuse, but the wind was kind of weird.
That is what I could see. You could see that.
It started the game. I looked on my phone. It started the game at like 7 or 8 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But it was gusting to 15.
Yes, they talked about that.
And there was some confusion on the toss.
Yeah.
Like McCarthy was all upset about something, and I'm not sure what happened, but he was barking at the official that's like the alternate guy on the sideline.
Yeah.
And then he was on the field yelling at the head referee. So I don't know what happened, because it ended up being the Cowboys won the toss and deferred, right? And I'm not sure what happened there. Because somehow I think not only did they kick, but San Francisco might have gotten the win too. And I was watching warmups, and the wind was affecting the kicks, especially the punts.
Yeah.
When they got up way high, I was like, oh, somebody's going to fumble one of these. Now, they fumbled one, but it was after he caught it.
Right.
Which was a hell of a play on Kelvin Joseph and Damone.
I told you guys Kelvin Joseph was going to make a play for us before the playoffs.
You know, special teams almost won that game.
Yeah, he's pretty good, man. He's very athletic.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
You know, one thing on the Gallup throw.
The deep one
with 3 minutes left in the game. It looked to me, and I'm watching the replay of it now, it looked to me like Dak couldn't follow through on it.
No, he got hit.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see the replay on it, but I'm looking at just the live picture of it right now, and he had to short arm it,
who was in his face?
Lineman on the right side. I'll let you look at it.
I got it. I see it.
Yeah. It looked like he wasn't able to follow through, I think that's why it drifted to the right.
I see it.
So I thought it at the time.
Right.
Live watching it, too.
Because I ended up writing down short.
It was not short.
But, again, it gets back to that pass rush. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sack or even a quarterback hit if he's having to hurry it or whatever. That's a difference when you're playing the San Francisco front as opposed to the Tampa Bay front.
And I must admit, both quarterbacks – had issues.
Yeah.
The D-line was getting after it on both sides.
Yeah, and this that's why, you know what, on the thing, on the official stat sheet, it said Dak got, it says Q, right? So it's either hit or pressure, 4. And then the other guy, 4. I'm going, no, that's got to be 8.
Yeah.
They were under duress most of the game.
Yeah.
That's why what they were doing, it was, you know, dump offs to the side, screens.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I was fine with that because this is the kind of game where you're going to have to do that.
And Purdy did it awfully well.
Yeah.
And he rarely made a bad decision. You got to give him that.
Yeah.
So he was pretty relevant, let's put it that way. Get rid of that irrelevant stuff.
Pretty relevant?
Pretty relevant.
Or
Purdy relevant.
Purdy relevant.
Purdy relevant.
All right, tomorrow I want to discuss the tackle on Tony Pollard. We don't have time to get into it right now.
Yes.
And as we mentioned, it was such a big play in the game, and we'll turn our attention towards the off season as well as the week goes on here. And because there's a lot of players that, as Everson said, maybe walking out that door for the last time.
With a trash bag.
And then a lot of decisions that have to be made as this roster is concerned.
And a bunch of guys that are going to be unrestricted. A bunch of them. And some of them pretty significant, too.
Yes, they are.
I mean, and you know, I don't know if Barr was a rental linebacker just for this season, but he was on a one-year
deal. How about Leighton Vander Esch?
Vander Esch on the last year. And once again, by the way, He had double-digit tackles. I want to say it was
11. I don't know if you're listening to the TV broadcast, but they were talking that McCarthy said that he's the most improved player on the team this year.
He had 11 tackles. Bland had 10, but many of those were the guy he was covering caught him. Wilson had 8, and he's a free agent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence, that you already mentioned, he really balled out. But that means in last year in the San Francisco game when they got beat, Van Der Esch had 13 tackles. 13. And I'll remind you of our little discussion with him at the home run derby deal when somebody said, looked like it towards the end of the year, you kind of hit your stride. You had a lot of tackles, 13 in that playoff game. And he goes, that's what you get when you leave me on the field.
Look at my snap count.
Right? And that's what he meant, right? Which, and I was like, touche, messing around with Jalen Smith all that. Like,
speaking of that, we'll get into it tomorrow, but the Eagles feasted in the run game against the Giants mm-hmm. on Saturday.
And I'll leave you with this. You mentioned snap accounts. They had 66 defensive snaps. Van Der Esch had 65.
Okay.
So he was out there predominantly the entire game, mm-hmm. and it showed.
All right, so that does it for a morning after or a noon after, and we'll focus on the future tomorrow on the next edition of Mix Shots.
Go Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!